Now, the whole concept of social media is the one C word, the comparison. Just because I have 15,000 friends on Facebook, it doesn't mean they are my real friends. Mm. So we've forgotten that difference. And I think we need to become more aware and we need to educate people and mostly our children on what real friendships are.
Welcome to today's episode. We are exploring the psychology of fear, accountability, and the digital world. With AI and social media shaping our lives, understanding their impact on psychological well-being is more important than ever. Joining us is Dr. Shefali Batra, a leading psychiatrist who combines clinical expertise with mindfulness and cognitive techniques. Through her initiative, MindFrames, she helps individuals and organizations build self-awareness and emotional resilience. So let's welcome Dr. Shefali Batra. Hello, doctor. Welcome to Empyrea Connects.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So to begin with, I would like to know the impact of social media and digital world around us, how it is impacting our psychology, how it is impacting us, how we think and behave in today's time.
You know, this is a very frequently asked question, and even in my everyday practice, you'll have parents coming in, you know, my son is just always on social media, or you'll have a husband saying, you know, my wife, I think we'll have a better relationship if she just got off social media, and she'd be a better mother if she was off Instagram, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of talk around social media, you know, today. But I think just like everything else in the universe, like food, like even water, everything in the right balance is right. So what we're losing here is the misconception. You know, we don't want to believe that social media is the enemy or AI is the enemy. These are tools which have been created, but we unfortunately are replacing ourselves or real life with these tools. So that is where I think we go wrong. So what's essentially happening is we have more of a real life than real life. And living in a virtual world is just never going to be as fulfilling as the real world. You can have virtual reality headsets and put yourself in the most beautiful location on earth, but how about just going to the next door garden and just, you know, looking at the plants and looking at the flowers and smelling their fragrance. I think we've forgotten to do that because of social media. So we're living more in a fake universe than the real one. That's where the problem is coming in. So it's the overuse and the misuse, not the use, which is a problem. I think social media was built to connect. But I think because of overconnection in the virtual world, we are disconnecting from the real world. That is the problem.
I was actually coming to this point where we are connected with so many people on social media. And some people we know, like, you know, we had lost the contact or touch when we were in school or something.
We're, you know, a little older. Yeah. We're Gen X, right? Yeah. So for when I logged on to Facebook because I had moved to another country and I said, hey, I don't know anyone here. I just logged into Facebook after some 7 years, you know, before, and it popped up seven friends in, you know, your neighborhood. Yeah. It's like, wow, I was in the United States of America and I found a friend within 1 kilometer. And I said, wow, Facebook is so cool. I hadn't gotten onto it since the past 7 years because I was just busy working and living the real life. And that's when I recognized and realized that, you know, this is, I'm talking about 15 years ago. We didn't have other apps. So it was Facebook. Now we have everything else.
Yeah.
So it's an excellent way to connect. It's an excellent way to reach out and connect, reconnect with people you've lost touch with. Hmm. But what happens after that is the next question.
True.
If you become obsessed just that I have connected with 10 people, 20, but I have to connect with 500 new people every day and I want a million followers eventually, at that time, the comparison with other people, I have these many friends, that person has those many friends.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly, today also, I say I probably have 5 friends. And I can show you my phone. I have maybe 13,000 numbers, but I can tell you I have 5 friends. So I know what friends are, and just because I have 15,000 friends on Facebook, it doesn't mean they are my real friends. Mm. So we've forgotten that difference. And I think we need to become more aware, and we need to educate people and mostly our children on what real friendships are.
Yeah.
Because it's becoming too fake. It's becoming too plastic, I would say. There's no reality left in the universe with the way we're going.
So when it is likes, subscribe, and you said, you know, having 13,000 friends.
13 million.
Yeah.
You know, after the zero or two,
yeah.
You just keep adding.
So when you talk about social media, or you're talking about likes and subscribe, and then you're talking about, you know, how many lives people are watching your show or something like that. So, you know, it has an impact. Like, you try to show how you are popular. You are also a celebrity. So the celebrity status is coming to everybody, you know, these days. It's not an influencers. This is also an influencer era. So everybody is trying to influence other person in some or the other way. But what happens when it doesn't happen? So that actually has a lot of impact on personal lives also. Have you seen some cases like that?
We've seen a lot of cases like that actually. Of late, you know, the practice of mental health, practice of psychiatry. So we've been practicing now. Well, I joined psychiatry in 2001.
Hmm.
So practically 24 years of being in mental health, the problems have evolved.
Yeah.
Right? We didn't have these problems earlier.
Correct.
I think we had real depression and real anxiety those days. Fine, I understand, you know, anxiety of going to a top floor of a building because chakkar aate hai niche dekhke, you know, that kind of an impression, or anxiety about an exam. Today, it's an anxiety that I have not gotten likes. I posted, and in the initial, you know, 1 year maybe, look, I've seen a bit of Bollywood, I've seen a bit of actresses from TV here, there. So talking about celebrity, it's that I had a lot of work then, I don't have work now.
Hmm.
Or I have someone who says, I'm a little old, I might not become a movie star at this age. That anxiety is very different from the real anxiety or a phobia that we used to see sometime earlier. So we have created new avenues for sickness and illness. We have created new avenues for people to get sicker. And though I am in the trade and in the business, sorry, I wish we did not have these problems. I'm waiting for the day that I would be jobless, when people would not have anxiety and sadness and depression. And I probably do another creative branch of work because I love creativity. But we're unfortunately stuck, and we're generating more problems.
Yeah.
You know, can you even imagine that if I had to work on something, I had to create something, but the fact that X amount of people have not given me X amount of likes.
Hmm.
I can't sleep tonight. I mean, gone were the days of bed bugs and we couldn't sleep. And today we're not able to sleep because I didn't get the desired amount of likes. So are we really moving in the right direction? You know, the whole concept of social media is the one C word, the comparison.
Hmm.
It's the comparison, and we have access to see how many people like this actress versus me. Let's talk of just two Bollywood actresses. Both are very famous, both are very rich.
Correct.
But if one has more followers or likes than the other, and honestly, what is a follower? You know, again, follower, the definition has changed from what it used to be earlier. So who is a follower? It's that I become great because somebody's following me. I mean, I'm great, I believe, because I already am great, but I don't believe I'm good enough if I don't have X amount of followers.
Hmm.
That's a very new problem that we've generated with the comparisons. And social media has given us the full freedom legitimately to watch how many people are following whom. You know, for example, I had someone the other day who said, I was following X person's account and I figured that that person got 500 new followers just yesterday. And I did not get those many followers just yesterday. So now we're actually gone on such a micromanagement of someone else's account to recognize that I'm not good enough because just yesterday I didn't get the same number of exponentially increased followers. And then we're going to enhance our sales of antidepressants and anti-anxiety and insomnia medicines. It's very shocking the way our world is moving in this direction.
So when you see person coming to you with this kind of anxiety, what is more? Anxiety is more, depression is more, loneliness is more. What is increasing in today's generation?
Let's be honest. Okay, I'm a psychiatrist with an MD in psychiatry. Know all the diagnoses, DSM, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, ICD, yeah. International Classification of Diseases. We have 5 illnesses in psychiatry.
Hmm.
Okay, we have anxiety, we have depression. Sadness is on the spectrum, you know, we have panic, we have phobia, OCD, it's all anxiety.
Correct.
I think barring anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, and everything else coming around this, adjustment problems, relationship problems, exam phobia, heights phobia, elevator phobia, we only have a handful of diagnoses.
Correct.
I don't think the name of the diagnosis really matters, that, oh, I'm anxious. No, 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 doctor, I'm anxious. I'm not depressed. See, we see the inside of the mind.
Yeah.
Okay, we have this particular axis in our brain. It's called the HPA axis, hypothalamus pituitary axis. Now, your stress hormone is released as much in depression as it is in anxiety.
Hmm.
So it's not very different. And to be really honest, majority of the antidepressants are anti-anxiety drugs too.
Hmm.
But also the correction of a psychological problem is not a pill. So how does it matter whether we're seeing more of depression or more of anxiety or more of loneliness? It starts off with a feeling of inadequacy.
Hmm.
Okay. Loneliness is a very good word. I like it that you brought it up, because you could be all alone by yourself and not be lonely. And you could be in a room filled with 500 people and still be lonely. So that's the perspective you think. Now, I think, wow, she's got 17 million followers. Not even 1700, for example. That doesn't define whether I'm a good doctor, right? Based on the number of followers. So, but if I choose to believe that this person is better than me, then I am making that comparison, not somebody else. I choose to compare. I choose to feel inadequate. And then I choose to crib and I choose to brood. And over a period in time, when my brain gets conditioned to doing so, I choose my own depression in a way.
Hmm.
I choose my anxiety.
Hmm.
So when you ask the loneliness, yes, the sense of isolation, because I'm in a room filled with people, all of who are superstars because they have a lot of followers.
Yeah.
I'm just the only non-superstar is what people tend to believe. But is that really true?
Hmm.
You know, I believe, I think there is no truth left in the universe. It is only a perception of the truth.
Hmm.
Who is pretty? Miss Universe is the prettiest woman on planet Earth.
Yeah.
But she got a chance to go in the pageant. She got a chance to represent her country, win. She got a chance to have the financial support, emotional support, all the backing to go for an international pageant. And she won. She's beautiful. She's great. But is she the most beautiful woman in the universe?
Hmm.
And last year's Miss Universe versus this year's Miss Universe.
Correct.
Who is the most beautiful woman in the universe? It's nice to win this, but does that define who you really are? That is the golden question which we need to ask ourselves. And then accordingly, my emotion will result from that. So whether I choose to feel happy, sad, angry, frustrated, indifferent, or disgusted, or flabbergasted, or anxious, or depressed, or lonely and isolated, I think all of those are subjective emotions which we... It's called EQ, right? Emotional quotient. How emotionally intelligent are you?
Okay.
So we feel just because we don't have the recognition that others have, we are not good enough.
Yeah.
But who decided that?
Yeah.
Did the world decide that?
Hmm.
Or we decided that? It was in our time. The only time we felt sad was I didn't stand first, I stood second.
Yeah.
And someone who stood, you know, last also said, thank God I didn't fail. I like the attitude of that guy.
Yeah.
You know, the one who gets 37% in an SSC exam says, let's throw a party. And the one who gets 97 says, I'm not good enough because I didn't get 99.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all perspective which we need
to think
also
about. A lot of self-doubt, questioning.
Correct.
If
because
believing that I'm not good enough. And then
but who taught you that? Who
back
taught you
body?
That you're not good enough?
Yeah.
You know, when we're born, we're all born the same.
Yeah.
Barring a little bit of genetic makeup, we are all born exactly the same. You know, and I recall this feeling, you know, MBBS we did, so gynecology, obstetrics posting. In one night, we are delivering, as in we're delivering babies from others, obviously. So we're delivering 10 babies in a night. And then all these newborn babies are in one line in the intensive care. We're just seeing them all sitting in one line. And I used to, you know, we were on all-night duty. And I used to look at these babies, so cute, just newly born. And mothers are finally happily sleeping. And I'd say, who would this kid grow up to be? They're all the same.
Yeah.
And then one grows up to be anxious, one grows up to be depressed, one grows up to be an engineer flourishing, one grows up to be a doctor who's not sure about himself, one grows up to have OCD.
Yeah.
How do we get all of this?
Okay.
It is not purely genetic. It is our life, what happens with us, what we choose to do, what happens with us.
Yeah.
How our parents teach us. When kids see their parents getting all flustered, you know, about finances, then the child starts worrying about money, for example. If a child sees the mother afraid of heights, obviously the child also gets afraid of heights. The parent is talking about ghosts, the child gets afraid of ghosts. But when the mother tells the child, you're not good enough, you stood only fifth in class.
Yeah.
And then gradually the child, everybody gets a mobile phone. By the time they are in the fifth, of course, they all have mobile phones. And then the kid starts comparing. You know, so we are introducing comparison very early on in life. And this is also an impact of that itself. I mean, it is an outcome of that. The comparison, we have trained and guided and molded our kids in that way.
The validation, basically. If you don't get that validation, you seek that validation on
from
likes, social
from,
media.
You know, so your parent scolds you for something. You may not have done well in an exam and the parent may reprimand you and say, you're a loser or something. And so then the child would hop onto social media and get so many likes and think, oh, I'm not really a loser.
Yeah.
But then that becomes your benchmark.
True.
But if the parent was right enough to anyway say that you are not a loser because you gave in your best. And I would say the same thing about a social media post. You liked a photograph of yourself and you posted it. Why should millions of people like it? And if they don't, does that mean that you don't look good? I mean, that's a question you have to ask yourself.
Yeah.
And when we start going after this from 5, 10, 15, 20, 100, 20 million, billion, where does it end? You can't have 8 billion people liking you, which is the world's population so far, unless animals also have to start liking you. So that's another story. But if it's about a number game, how many numbers are you going to run after? Does it really matter? That's the question you ask yourself. You know, because your mom says, hey, you're looking really pretty, but you're not bothered. Your husband or your wife says you're looking really good. No, but you need to see how many likes you have. Then I'll decide
whether I'm looking good. And from the specific person sometime that, oh, has that person liked or not liked? That also becomes sometime an issue. And
like, some influencer, you know, has influencer liked me or not.
Or even family members. Why has she not liked it? Why is not this?
You know, we're talking about bigger numbers.
Bigger numbers.
We're talking about getting into the craze of social media.
Yeah.
You know, desiring a following or desiring a fan following. And that makes me wow. I don't think that's what makes you wow. So everything that you feel, if you question yourself that this emotion that I feel in response to this particular value or this particular... You know, if someone says that I didn't stand first and I didn't make it to IIT, I'm not worthwhile.
Correct.
But everyone who didn't make it to IIT is not worthwhile, because how many people make it to IIT? But everything is about the comparison word that we've benchmarked ourselves, measuring our goodness on a different scale. But we're probably using the right scale to measure ourselves. So we will always not add up.
A couple of weeks back, I saw a commercial which is like, you can talk to Siri and Alexa, that is there. Then there is new thing, Gemini. You can have a conversation. You can ask question. Hey, Gemini, tell me. Even cars now, they have like, you know, this facility that you can ask the car.
You can absolutely ask questions.
Yeah, ask the question. So
any AI is going to answer.
So you are talking, you are talking to, you are speaking to a digital entity or digital device who is no longer existing, and it has its own intelligence, you know, not necessarily
artificial intelligence is what we call it. We forget that AI is nothing but, see, AI is just a very, very, very sophisticated form of Google, right? Today, when I ask AI a question, you know, when I ask, let's say, Gemini, because you know, generative AI is now, it's experimental, but it's out there. So we're all, you know, researchers, doctors, and so long, we love Google. But today, when you're indexing information, have you seen the movie Ex Machina and all of these AI movies? Artificial intelligence is nothing but festering on the intelligence or the know-how of the universe, putting it all together and creating a conclusion out of it.
Correct.
So if today I'm going to ask a ChatGPT or a generative AI or Gemini or Siri, hey Siri, which is the best restaurant in town, for example.
Yeah.
It's giving me an answer based on the reviews from these 10 sources. That's what we call indexing.
Correct.
Right? Now, AI seems very lucrative because it is indexing from so many sites all at once, which I on my own can't suddenly tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll be really honest. Somebody from Paris connected with me and said, "Doctor, did you know you are the best therapist in the country?" I said, "I don't think there's anything like the best, but why are you saying this?" He said, "I asked ChatGPT who's the best cognitive therapist in the country and it said you." I said, "Maybe it's just not indexed right, or it you know, picked up some reviews from somewhere." I didn't think that I'm the best therapist in the country. Like, it didn't make sense. How can you believe? Of course, I'm really happy that the patient came to me and was happy with me. We did a good 13, you know, standard structured setup that I have of 13 weeks of CBT. But it was news to me that I'm the best therapist in the country.
Yeah.
I said, I don't think I'm the best. Every person has the best therapist who they go to and make a difference to their life.
Yeah.
So whoever helps you is the best. I don't think there is the best. Who's the best hairstylist? Who's the best makeup artist?
Yeah.
And which is the best sari in town?
Yeah.
These are such, you know, when you become a little more self-aware and mindful, I don't think there is the best of anything. But the best is what works for me right now.
Yeah.
Right? On all our birthdays, we, on our mom's birthdays, you know, we give cards to the best mom in the world.
Yeah.
But I understand that everybody has a best mom in the world, and I also have a best mom in the world, but actually she's the only mom I have. So it's just perspective,
it's,
you know.
It's a perspective.
She has obviously given all her love to me, so she becomes the best for me.
Correct.
Right? So there is a best restaurant and a best movie and a best doctor and a best podcast and a best professional for all of us. Why are we losing that? You know, this influencer has these many followers, so he's the best.
Yeah.
I don't see the logic in that.
Yeah.
Just because a ton of people are following. So that's where I, you know, the whole concept of mob psychology. Just because a large bunch of people are doing one thing, do I have to join them? Where did my intelligence go? Because the AI took me over.
Yeah.
You know, I long ago used to ask questions to Siri and, you know, because I have an Echo and I have Google, of course, and I talk to Siri, you know, all the time. It's just fun. So one day I just told Alexa, "Alexa, I don't like you." So she said, never mind. I'll work on improving our relationship or something like that.
Okay.
You know, I told Siri, "Hey, Siri, I don't like you. I just do these tests just for fun."
Okay.
And once I actually said, "Hey, Siri, you're really nice." She said, "Uh-huh, that's really nice to hear. And I'm glad you feel that way." And, you know, this is what I feel we should learn from, you know, AI.
Yeah.
If I tell Alexa I don't like her, she said, "I'll try better and we'll improve our relationship."
Yeah.
With time.
Yeah.
But why are we learning the wrong things from all the AIs? We have fed in those responses.
Yeah.
We have fed in a million responses because we are extremely intelligent human beings. We are at least a million times smarter than AI.
Yeah.
But we don't realize that.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. We think these tools are better than us. We think these tools can do good for us. They are meant to assist us, not substitute. I have patients who come and tell me, "Doc, ChatGPT told me this." I say, "No, ChatGPT is not a person. We are beginning to believe it's a person."
Yeah.
"Doc, ChatGPT is my friend and ChatGPT is better than you." I said, "You know, somewhere, because I have a website which happens to be the first psychiatry website in the country, I'm sure ChatGPT has taken stuff from my website too, besides a million other websites."
Yeah.
So your ChatGPT is not better than me. Your ChatGPT learned from me. But we are forgetting that. I think we're hallucinating and delusional, and we're believing that ChatGPT is a person.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Use ChatGPT for your research or study. You give them some question or you are curious about something. You ask ChatGPT about. It gives you so much of data. It really blows your mind. And you are shocked to see so much of information in
so
instant,
fast.
So fast, like you
instant
know,
gratification. Instant. I wanted and I got it.
Yeah. And our teacher, like how we grew up, like our teacher used to say, "Go study, read 10 books.
Go
and
read.
And
don't know the
research,
answer, go home and read."
And for research, we used to get 15 days, 20 days to create some, like, you know, report. To create some assignments.
We write thesis in MD and PhD and things like that.
You study for years for that. And then you submit your research. But now with all this digital, apps, you can say, and intelligence, it happens like, you know, fraction of second.
You'd be surprised. I mean, you know, I wrote a book, right? It's called Why Do I Feel So Sad?
Yeah.
One of my patients, obviously not going to disclose the name.
Yeah.
My patient said that she wrote a book in 1 week.
Yeah.
I took 23 months to write a book. From writing to editing, the legitimate way, sitting, thinking, writing, editing, editor, to and fro, 10 times change. People are writing books in 1 week. They're not writing the book. ChatGPT is writing the book, right? Because on any topic, pick any topic. Look, the world is very large. I don't think there's any book on any topic that's not been written. Even when I wrote a book on depression, I thought, does the world need one more book? But no, we always need a new perspective. So it's
new
fine.
Perspective, for
and
sure.
And people read my book and people like it. But people are writing books in a week.
Yeah.
They're writing nothing. ChatGPT, AI is doing it for them. They are indexing, they're picking up from somewhere or the other. And from the millions of books that are already there, you can pick something. Instantly, things are getting done for you.
Yeah.
So what you just mentioned, we're talking about instant gratification, and what we have evolved to develop is the problem of immediate gratification. So this is called the pig. A lot of us in the universe have the pig. I mean, personally, I don't think I have it because I'm aware of all of these concepts. But what you just mentioned, that you want to write a research paper, 15 days to just look up. We used to go to libraries because that Indian Journal of Psychiatry, the American Journal of Psychiatry, the PCNA, that document, where am I going to find it? I want to open it and read it.
Read it.
And learn. But today, everything online, and you have someone doing all that homework for you in a few seconds.
Yeah.
So you'll have the entire article coming up, just out and ready in front of you. Of course, universities are developing algorithms to pick. But I'm just wondering, why do we do these things? Why are we creating tools to give people to not do their own hard work and their homework, and then eventually create more tools to identify who has plagiarized from where? So it's kind of becoming funny. It's in the same way that, you know, we are building technology to create nuclear weapons, and then we're saying, oh, we want world peace. I don't understand what's going on in the world right now. Especially with this, you're talking about the artificial intelligence. Why are we doing this? I'm not sure we really know. I think if it's a tool, let's use it to assist us. But let's not read on the site to educate ourselves on the subject. If it is my MD thesis or my PhD thesis, I need to work on it.
Yeah.
That we're somewhere missing out. Let me tell you, those who are doing MD and PhD are definitely working hard because it's a different track. I'm worried about the middleman.
Yeah.
The students who...
And I'm worried about students.
The middle children. The middle students I'm talking about. The ones... Look, I know those who super want to excel. I think they still work hard. I will not deny that they're not working hard. And then those who are not even barely passing, I can imagine that they would use these tools to pass. But there is a whole category of, you know, like I think the 95% and above are definitely authentically good at what they do. It's the 62, you know, honestly, the 40% is not even using ChatGPT because if he was, he would do better.
Yeah.
But I'm also concerned about the teacher who's grading, no?
Yeah.
So when we're using these tools, we're teaching our brain to not work hard.
Yes, yes.
What I feel the mission always was for us, we don't care about marks. We want you to work hard. But today it is the smartest person is the one who's doing it the fastest. How silly are you that you're not using AI to do this?
Yeah.
This is the way I hear about Instagram reels. I hear it about the presentations and videos I make.
Yeah.
Even about books. I told you, my patient wrote a book in 7 days.
Yeah.
So that's because she didn't actually write it. It was ChatGPT who wrote it. Now, what credit should we give? The book may actually look good.
Yeah.
The book may be good. The book might sell. But what is that really doing to you? Are you feeling really happy that you wrote a book when you actually didn't write it?
Is so it giving you satisfaction of writing?
But I think a lot of people in the universe have become happy with this fake satisfaction. That's the thing. We're feeling very happy about the fact that I could do this in the least time. I used to feel happy about the fact, you know, I sat all night to do this. I just feel so good. Though it was a night of lost sleep, I feel so glad that I could write this paper. But how many people feel like that? So I think our I call it basic ethical values which are changing. You know, we used to say that do it the hard work. Don't copy from your partner. Yeah. Don't use a project that your older sister had used last year. People used to find it so silly.
Yeah.
I had an older sister just 1 year older than me. And I would never use last year's project because I wanted to do my own project.
Yeah.
And look at the world today.
And it used to pinch, no?
Like, it used to pinch somebody, while I use someone
else's. Yeah, but you know, even if somebody says that, you know, she must have used her sister's project only. It used to pinch. Yeah.
It happened even now. Someone after my book launch, after a couple of months. So, who's the ghostwriter for your book? Like, what? Why would you have a ghostwriter? Some of us value originality.
Yeah.
Originality is being lost with things like, you know, the tools that the AI tools are taking that away.
Yeah.
So, we need to, at some point, I think change starts right from the early stage. So, to change the generation 20 years later, I think we need to really curb the dependency on AI today. Because the more we depend on outside intelligence, the more we are depleting our own intelligence. You know, you said blowing the mind. Our brain neurons are just literally blowing up and they're dying. And we need to rekindle them because something, you know, that if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
We say that about dementia. We say to prevent dementia, do Sudoku. Read a lot.
Yes.
Don't just while away time on useless Netflix.
Correct.
I love Netflix myself too. It's good, but depends on what you're spending your time on.
Yeah.
If you're not going to use your brain, then you're going to eventually lose it. And that's what's happening to kids very early. They're forgetting how to use their brain.
Like we had the traditional setup of school, teacher, and that teacher-student relationship and all that. Everything has changed after COVID and pandemic. And the world looks different post-pandemic, you know. And since children had early access of laptop, early access of internet,
more access of phone also.
Now they have Netflix on their phone and exposed to many things which they are not supposed to get exposed
to. They are not able to receive it.
They are not able to receive it. How it is impacting today's children? Are you consulting any children at this moment?
Plenty of kids, and I can see, shouldn't say too many examples, but I'm not disclosing their names. But I have people coming in and telling me, ChatGPT told me that you're not talking to me properly. I said, but how did ChatGPT know how I'm talking to you? Because I told ChatGPT that you told me this. You know, we've had a lot of conferences, you know, psychiatry conferences where we've actually had debates on AI and mental health. And the verdict typically is, I'm talking about mental health, that's my specialty.
Yes.
But the verdict is that do not rely on ChatGPT because eventually it is not a person.
Yeah.
Where is that empathy and the personal touch?
Yeah.
It's just missing. But ChatGPT has an algorithm, I will always say nice things.
Yeah.
Right? I will give the person what they want.
Yeah.
Invariably, ChatGPT is taught how to do that. And that is why when I tell Siri that I don't like her, I know she's pre-trained and planned. But when she hears that, she'll say, I'm sorry to hear that. Try going and telling a friend I don't like you. You'll get a slap on your face.
Yeah.
Or you'll say, fine, I also don't like you.
Yeah.
But it's only Siri who will tell you, I'm sorry to hear that, we'll make it work. That's why I'm saying, when you're trained to just say the right thing.
Yeah.
Remember that this is a program that humans like us have made.
Yeah.
This is not substituting us.
Yeah. And also this is something that we would like to hear. Like, you know, likeness. Like, you know.
But if you keep hearing what you like to hear, what you just get spoiled and entitled, which is happening to a lot of children.
Right? Yeah.
Which is happening. And that is why they are growing to be impulsive. And they can't tolerate anything that doesn't go their way. Something simple. I mean, I know we're on the street and there's traffic and this is Bombay. We'll say, okay, we'll just listen to music for an hour.
Yeah.
How many of us are ready to do that? And what happens if you can't? You can get off, you can scream, you can honk, but the cars are not going to move.
True.
But in the virtual world, we will actually make a ton of friends. We can just, there are enough avenues to make those not real relationships, not real accomplishments, not real friendships. You can buy likes. You can absolutely buy bot likes. So we create programs. We create bots. We sell boosting of social media profiles. Why do I need to boost something? If it's there, people will watch it. But unfortunately, the world has become this way. every child wants to be a social media marketer.
Yeah.
You don't need to study.
They more. Also discuss, oh, you're not on social media. You are not
you
on this.
Abnormal,
yeah. Media.
Why
yeah.
are you not on social media?
And people, parents especially, they also feel a pressure at one point that, oh, my child is not on social media.
So my child is being left out.
And me, what if he doesn't know how to use it correctly? FOMO, because his future is that. This is FOMO. And there are so many terms like that, you know. They are like just floating around.
No, but the future is not pure technology. The future is humanity assisted with technology, which we're failing to realize. We're thinking, are you ever someday, I personally am not sure if I would like to go only to a robot for a surgery. I can have a doctor who's using a robotic mechanism for the surgery.
Yeah.
But I would find it odd. So the same way I was going to create a chatbot for my website, for an AI assisted chatbot. I tried to teach the chatbot. Somehow the chatbot was learning the wrong thing.
Oh.
The chatbot was saying a lot more than I wanted to say. Because it wants to be nice, but I can't only be nice. Sometimes you have to hear things which are not nice.
Correct.
But with the increasing use of AI, we have lost our tolerance to not listening to things that we don't like. And what does that do in the long run? The kid gets everything from parents. The kid thinks that I'm good. Have you seen how parents, if they're running a race with their three-year-old,
yeah.
you notice that the father will always lose?
Yeah.
Because he's running and he'll run slowly.
Yeah.
Right? And this kid, when he runs a real race in life, he recognizes that I could beat my father in every race, but I can't beat the other kid in class.
Yeah.
And I would always tell parents that don't overdo that. Sometimes make your child lose.
Hmm.
So that your child knows how to lose, because life is going to slap your child even if you don't.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to slap our children, but unfortunately life will still slap them. So then do they know that sometimes we have to wait for what we want? Kids don't know that.
Yeah.
So this PIG, problem of immediate gratification, everyone's got the pig. Everyone's becoming a pig in the process of getting the pig. But we need to deal with this problem of immediate gratification a lot more. It's becoming a very serious problem.
Hmm.
And we're not recognizing that all our kids have this problem.
Because
if they don't get their answer, or if the teacher says that, I think this is not originally written. There are ways to find out, right?
Plagiarism
checks and all of that. We're creating those softwares also.
Yeah.
And the kid doesn't know what to do. And the kid says, let me hire another teacher who I can pay to write my assignment. But what's happening to the world? Do I want to go to a doctor who has become a doctor like this tomorrow?
Yeah.
When I am old and, you know, so I'm afraid of the new generation, the way they're growing up. That's what are we going to trust?
Yeah. So now if you go to any family function or gathering, you know, the kid who clicks better picture is always popular. And like, okay, you click my photo, you
By
click
the way,
my picture.
I like clicking good photos. But,
It's just like, you know, if you're good in something, you get that too much attention. And suddenly the other people like, I don't click that picture or what?
That's
Am I not
comparison.
A citizen? You are getting having that comparison. At same time, like, you know, you look her paper, her writing, her project looks so clean, neat, informative. Your is not
it's
like
not,
that.
But this was true even 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But 20 years ago, we had to work harder. By the way, I used to get prizes in handwriting contests. So we had to work hard to create these good looking things.
Yeah.
But today, we either use a software to create this.
Yeah.
Or, like I said, the sense of entitlement, and we have things coming too easy to us. And do we really want that? I mean, people can get ideas for movies, for
a lot of creative ideas. True.
From AI, because AI is indexing everything and giving you the best of these million options.
Yeah.
And it looks quite original.
Yeah.
But there's also, by the way, one defect, you know, thanks to AI, if you've heard the term homogenization.
Okay, then, I don't know that.
I don't know. I have people on my team, you know, I tell people to write articles and, you know, so I'll ask someone on my team to write an article. It takes me just a few seconds to figure if ChatGPT has written it. I don't know. I mean, I have that knack and I can see that this is not authentic, but how do I have that knack? I don't know. Maybe I'm an expert in my field, so I know what's authentic and what's not. There is something very homogeneous in the AI.
Hmm.
So it will pick from the top 10 sites For one, it is not going through a million. It's just in the top 10. If on a Google search, you have 10 on the first page, and ChatGPT is pretty much going to pick from there. Mm. Any good AI will say, I want to pick from the top 10. Why will I go on the 100th to the 400th article?
Correct. Right?
So after a certain point, it seems very homogeneous. It just seems very superficial.
Mm.
The originality, the authenticity is definitely missing.
Mm.
So I think we need to be aware of this, and experts in the field, I think, will become aware sooner or later. Yeah. If not soon enough, after a little while, they will. So, like I said, universities are creating algorithms and softwares to avoid kids from using these things.
Yeah.
Because the children are being further more and more motivated to not use your brain. If you're using your brain, you're abnormal.
So, the other app is like, you know, about writing. Like, we used to write a lot. We used to, like, you know, when we were learning 1, 2, 3 or ABCD, we used to just, like, you know, there was a slate.
Writing books. Other parents do, and writing books is the standard.
So, you repetitively write that alphabet, or, you know, those slates used to be there where you are writing. And like,
slate even means.
So, they, like, you know, from there, then right now it is a keypad in your phone, which, like, you know, you just move the finger and it gives you the spelling. So you have a typing typewriter.
Kids don't know spelling.
They don't know. Yeah. Kids don't know
They absolutely don't know. They don't know vocabulary. They don't know grammar.
Yeah.
They could become very educated in their field, graduation, master, PhDs, but sorry, they don't know grammar. Because they have softwares that will do it for them.
Yeah.
Free or paid softwares, but they don't know these things. I give a lot of importance, for example, to grammar, but kids don't.
Students in 12th and 10th, they have to give exams, like they have to write an exam. Suddenly they feel a stress of writing.
Correct.
Suddenly they feel a stress used, and they find a stress in, like, you know, sitting for so long in one place, not having any digital access, no digital world around, it's just a pen and paper, and suddenly
withdrawal reaction from addiction to digital technology. They can't think straight, and they, you know, it's like a person who consumes alcohol and doesn't get alcohol. The body goes into a withdrawal state. You know, you even get seizures, your hands start trembling. Things are getting worse than that. Like I said, they can't breathe without a phone.
Yeah.
And I'm suffering. How am I going to survive without my phone?
Yeah.
Or if my phone fell into the water, oh my God, it's not working.
Yeah.
It's the best thing that could happen. My phone fell into the water.
But yeah, that also happened. Like, we used to remember, like, addresses, phone numbers, and we used to, like, remember the map, or, like, you know, directions, how we reach to one place. Now it is so simple. Just put a Google map, and then your friend is just
there. I use Google Maps a lot.
Yeah.
But now that you say it, some of my first friends from, I got a mobile phone in 1999. I think pretty much 98, 99 was when phones came out. So some numbers, 9821280, 9820190239, they were just like these numbers in our head, which are so plastered, because those were the numbers of the first few friends.
Yeah.
And the first few family who got phones.
Yeah.
So today, those numbers are still plastered in their head. The friend has changed the number 6 times from that time. Today, I don't remember her number, but I remember her first number. At that time, we knew that if my friend has a phone, I should know her number, because logic, one day when I'm left without a phone, I should know who to call.
Who to call.
But I don't think today people don't know their mother's phone number.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to use their brain. You see, if I don't need to use my brain, I won't use it.
Yeah.
So you have to protect it and preserve it for a rainy day, and then I'll use my brain. So the kids have come to
this.
And, you know, if Einstein used 5 or 6 or 7% of his brain, I mean, our kids are using 0.001%, I feel.
Yeah,
I think we need to shake them up and put their brains into action, because they are rusting.
Yeah,
truly are rusting. They're not using it for anything. Everything's just ready made. So
yeah, that is a very big concern that every parent is big concern. The other thing is, like, you know, what information comes to you, there is no control over it. So as an adult, or
to the child,
to the child. So parents are our age, we understand, we can filter the good part of the information, what not to take and what to discard. But children take everything. Like, you know, a 8-year-old has a brain of, like, you know, it's like a sponge. It will want to have all the information in the brain. Like, you know, they store it.
No, so, like I said, they don't know how to process,
It also, yeah.
Absolutely rightly.
Yeah.
They're taking in a lot, but they don't know what to do with it.
What to do with it, yeah.
So, they take in something and they try to imitate it.
Yeah.
For example, I mean, kids today are imitating abnormal traits and abnormal qualities of stars and, you know, influencers.
Yes.
And that's not appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, so many suicides, so many self-harm attempts, all of this is because some celebrity was doing it this way, so I should also do it this way because I will also look. I do career guidance for kids. Every kid comes and tells me very smartly, Doc, see, I want to do a career in which I have like two criteria. Point number one, it should be a lot of money. Point number two, it should be zero hard work. And they say it so straight face, and I'm like,
and you are talking to a person who has done hard work in everything.
I wonder if my children clients will stop saying that. But it just rushes through my head. How did we reach here?
Yeah.
How did we reach here that a kid can come to a professional like me? The parents are paying me money for it to guide you rightly. Doc, just two things, lot of money and no hard work. And I'm like, you know what? Why don't you figure it out and tell me? Because I'm still dying doing the hard work. So why don't you figure it out and then I'll do the same thing? Because unfortunately, there's no way that you could. No, but there are ways. Look at social media. I want a social media career. Every kid is saying that. Because all we need to do is compete. And everyone is only dying to be on the top. But we're making a career out of that. Yeah, I'd rather go back and do farming.
But you sustain.
It's more lucrative. Yeah. It makes more sense.
Yeah.
How is it that I want to spend X amount of money to become the number one in this location or in this expertise or something? Why do I need to put money for it? It's not making sense.
True.
But the world has become that this is all that matters. Nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so when
true.
I tell kids, I said, but who's going to be a doctor? Like, we are good doctors. Real hard work. So I ask the kids, who's going to treat you when you become old? Or robots will treat us. But who's going to train the robots?
Yeah.
If all of us smart people who've done hard work are going to die one day, then what's going to happen to the children?
Yeah.
Then they're like, we'll see. That's... AI. What is AI? AI is not a god. And I don't even know if our kids believe in God, but that's another story.
Yeah.
But we have made a reality out of this artificial. The name is artificial. Don't forget.
Yeah.
It's artificial. It's not real. But we forget that. That's why we use a short form AI.
Yeah, I think.
Don't remember artificial. You ask a child, dude, you want artificial intelligence or real intelligence?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I want AI.
Yeah.
I think they recognize,
the difference. Yeah.
If we use the word artificial more openly, we're like, who wants artificial stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want artificial.
You don't want artificial sugar. You don't want artificial sugary things. You don't want, it is not authentic taste. Yeah. And then,
I want artificial intelligence.
I don't
want to tap my own brain.
Yeah.
People are saying.
Yeah.
They don't realize what's good for them and what's not. I'm not against AI.
Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing, great for indexing. I'm saying today I want to use that research, but I have done authentic research in the past. We've done research ourselves. We've interviewed people and made those questionnaires and put those findings which are now being indexed out there. But how about us also contributing? That's what real is versus what fake is.
Yeah.
We don't want fake, but we still are confused in our head as to what we should follow.
Yeah.
Especially because everyone's following it, why should I not?
Like you said, like having a AI doctor or robotic doctor in future.
Doctor.
Yeah, you know, so in future, like, you know, let's say every patient assisted.
Fine.
Yeah.
Assisted is okay.
Yeah.
But not.
Who is going to assist? But like, you know, who is going to give the command or information?
Real doctor.
But then, like, say, now, this generation might have the most real doctors, but then with AI generation, how many will be authentic doctors with authentic research?
That way, I would say, touch wood, I don't think the world is coming to such a sad state because there are kids who are working hard too. So I think hopefully we will balance out. But I'm worried about this lot who is not able to balance this and who's relying too much. That's what I'm worried about. That more and more people getting to rely on this, I'm sure there'll be enough people who will believe in real and not fake.
So you've just mentioned the reel that you saw about sunlight, sunset, and then, you know, playing certain games which you used to play during your childhood. It also brings a lot of nostalgia to you. And there is, when it is nostalgia, it is a comfort. It is a, like, you know, feel good vibe to it. And sometimes that is also a benefit from social media. You can say that you would like to go back to your hometown and, like, you know, click those images again. You have not, you go to places
the things
which
that we grew up with. Ek chidiya, ek chidiya kind of a song. We grew up with that, and so we like it. But I think also, you know, we miss it because that was probably the only video we grew up with. Unfortunately, today there's just so much. Talk to kids. I mean, the number of shows that they watch, we haven't even heard of them. And I don't think in one lifetime we can watch everything that is being created at the speed that it's being created. So unfortunately, there's very little that our kids are, like, as we said, they're absorbing. They're given a lot. They are like sponges. They can absorb a lot. But what are they doing with what they're absorbing? I think they're not processing it well. You know, you and me probably still remember the aartis from childhood. You know, today was Ashtami, we had a puja. We remember all of these things, but our kids have never even learned them. So they'll have different anthems and different things they believe in. I respect that they have something to follow. But is that really authentic? Is that really enriching them? What, like, in what way is getting a craze about likes or about followers or about online friends, how is that enriching you? If you have real friends, at least it's enriching. We know something good coming out of them. But how is that helping our kids? We're just chasing something which we don't know why we're chasing, and we don't know what it's doing for us. It's a little nonsensical, to be honest. You know, why are we spending time, effort and money on getting an app, using the app? We think we're connecting, but are we? Because you're disconnecting from what's happening around you and connecting more with the immaterial stuff. So the mission of everything is being lost. I think everyone's in this big question mark. Why am I doing what I'm doing? It's what we call an existential crisis. We're losing purpose. I got a degree. I even got a PhD with somehow or the other managing with online support of writing a thesis, for example. What do I get at the end of it? Am I happy? Am I truly happy? That's a question we've got to ask ourselves. That's a question parents need to ask their kids. What did you actually get your child? You think this is good for him? You think this thing that you're doing for him is making him happy for the given moment? Why have we become so myopic that I can't see far? I can only see what's going on right now. And right now, same problem of immediate gratification. I want this and I want it now. And if I don't have it, too bad. I mean, I'll get angry, I'll get upset, I'll break relationships, I'll be stormy, I'll walk out. This is what is happening.
So other thing happens is, like, when you get access of all this assisted artificial intelligence, you don't try to, you are dependent on that to solve your problem. You don't solve it on your own.
Problem solving capacity.
And then
down.
Even, like, you know, even parents today, everyone wants to give their child more than what they had before. Access of everything. Like education, lifestyle, whatever you call it. But every parent wants to give their child whatever they better than they missed out on. So what happens? Anyways, the child is getting more. Anyways, this artificial intelligence is also giving them more. So you have more of everything. You don't know. And the worst part is you don't know how to use that more that
as
you are
like
having.
I said, you're a sponge. You're taking it all, but you don't know how to process it. So there's a storm.
How does instinct
inside.
Work in that case? Like human instinct,
Like, I like that word instinct or the gut feeling. you know, the gut feeling is not actually coming from your stomach, right?
Yeah.
Or an instinct. An instinct is not just natural.
Yeah.
An instinct comes, or we also call it wisdom sometimes. Hmm. That wisdom is really the way the artificial intelligence is indexing information from many different sources. Our instinct is our experiences, which got conglomerated into a certain pattern which we learned in life.
Yeah.
You know how I think at our age, we know if this person is talking like this, it's not really authentic.
True. That's
you know, someone's just trying to make me feel good, or someone's just trying to manipulate me. I think we recognize that. Our kids don't recognize that. They've not had real life experiences to recognize when someone's being manipulative, for example. So that's what your question about instinct really means, that do I recognize emotions?
Yeah.
We've just, because we've seen a smiley face, just because you see a kiss doesn't mean the person's actually happy with you.
True.
But we've lived in the fake world.
Yeah.
Personally, I've done it. How are you? I'll send a smiley face even though I have a terrible headache. I'll just say I'm fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll just say I'm busy or something. But I don't think I have sent the right message on that chat to the person about how I'm feeling. And people sometimes call. I'm like, hey, I'm a little busy, but I can chat. Because I don't feel like talking and I'm actually very irritated. But I'll still talk to be polite. Now, I'm doing it because I want to be polite. But are our kids doing it rightly?
Yeah.
So I think that authenticity, that instinct has gone because the capacity to recognize emotions or emotional quotient is gone. Because kids don't have much of an EQ today, because the EQ comes when you meet real people, you have real experiences, you understand your emotions, you understand someone else's emotions, and then you make the best outcome of each other's emotions, which our kids don't have, because they don't know how to connect with people. At least the ones who have been extremely connected only through apps.
Yeah, to devices, playing too much of games and all that. Sometimes they forget that, you know, some act some act can hurt somebody physically. It can actually give injury or something.
But the video game could just get up.
Yeah, it get up.
So we have kids who are punching other kids in the stomach and rupturing their intestines
at
the
happens.
Age of 10. I've had people like that here. I've had people like that abroad. And abroad, I guess the rules and regulations are a little more stringent. So the parents end up paying a lot of damages, which I respect, that if you've ruptured the intestine of another child.
Yeah.
But your child was not born to be a murderer.
Yeah.
But somehow he just thought this is fine.
Yeah.
Because the character in the video game did it.
Yeah.
So why can't I do it? But that's a video game. It's not real. This kid can get really hurt.
Yeah.
But nobody recognizes that.
Yeah.
The kids don't realize that.
Also, when you give access to phone and access to TV these days, and TV, we had channels like, you know, 1, 2, 3, or like then there was name and all that thing. Now you have millions of channels, and especially OTTs.
I mean, you don't need a TV. You have mobile devices.
Yeah, everything.
Now.
So when you give phone, you give access to that personalized account also to a child. So even if you say that, okay, this is age criteria is there and all that, it takes a few seconds for a child to...
There's no real ID.
Yeah.
There's no real
ID
that's being asked for. So the child can say...
Yeah.
And again, not to disclose with details, but I have had 8th standard children who said, I know where to get a fake ID in different countries. We know where to get the fake IDs. I mean, we have won't name them, but the different kind of IDs.
And the curiosity also plays, na? Why it is opening in their phone, it is not opening. The curiosity builds, and then you like, kids are anyways curious and they want to have an answer, and they have different ways of like, you know, getting the answer.
The wrong dimension is going to lead them to wrong outcomes.
Yeah.
And we are not recognizing that.
Yeah.
So kids are trying all sorts of things.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to talk of kids,
obviously how it is.
The disastrous consequences with kids trying things. But they really don't know.
But I think we should not be surprised. Like you know, there is a web series. I don't want to name that web series.
Yes,
I saw it in Netflix. And then, you know, as like, you know, I was shocked to see that child doesn't recognize that he did a crime because he thought it is not a crime.
Exactly. So that's where the empathy is lost. Empathy cannot come by talking to a machine. Have you seen the movie Her? You know the movie Her.
Everyone
and the movie Her is very old. I think the movie came way beyond its
before its time.
And you saw that scene where for a moment when the app was disconnected, there was a global shutdown.
Yeah.
And that guy went crazy because he was in love with
Yes, her. Yes.
And
yes.
After she came back and she said, sorry, there was a glitch.
Yeah.
He asked her in that scene in the railway station when he was running. He asked her, how many people are you in a relationship with right now?
Yeah.
And if you recall, she said some couple of million or something.
Yeah.
And that broke his heart.
Yeah.
But did he not recognize that she's an app that he's in love with?
Yeah.
We forget.
And in that film, the voice and everything felt so real, like to the
listener.
You
could choose the voice.
Voice, yeah.
And that's how today we have different voices we can choose even on our AI devices. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can choose Samuel Jackson, you can choose Amitabh Bachchan. I mean, everyone's making money off this, you know. I mean, are we recognizing and realizing that this is not real?
Yeah.
In our language, if you imagine something unreal being real, we call it schizophrenia. And what are we doing with the universe? With people are very legitimately believing in the reality of what is artificial. I repeat, the word AI has not changed.
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence. Just recognize the artificiality of it.
The other thing is like, you know, how you have food detox and all that. Like, you know, for mental detox, many people decide not to use social media, like, you know, keep digital life and social media and everything away from 10 days and see how the detox happen. Does it really work? Because see, what's after 10 days, it is not going to help.
Going to consume the toxin right after your detox.
Yeah.
So yes, for 10 days, your detoxification. But after that, you're back to the toxin.
Yeah.
So you're still ingesting the poison, if that's what you want to call it. Since you say the word detox.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that social media or gadgets are toxic. You know, I do look at relaxing, calm videos before I sleep myself. And it definitely helps because you calm your mind. I create these videos also. Yeah. But you calm your mind before you sleep and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, some
it's
people
just,
use
what
it.
What are you doing with what is being given to you? That is the question. You can't give a gun in the hand of a child and say, just be careful and, you know, don't use it much.
Don't use it much.
I mean, it sounds like an exaggeration, but sometimes I feel a gun is safer.
Yeah.
But we're not recognizing it.
Yeah.
So detox is good. I would say any amount that you can detoxify, cut down the toxin.
Yeah.
But I think even for social media detox, we still have other options. Like just decide, I won't use it on the dinner table. So then give yourself the 20 minutes of break. Or I won't use it, or I won't keep it in my bedroom while I'm sleeping. Just charge it in a different room. It's remove the plug point in your room only if you're so attached to it. But even within your room, not on your bedside, just keep it a little away. We are all lazy enough to not get up and access the phone. You wake up in the night to go to the loo, just go to the loo.
Yeah.
No, but first phone and then you realize you were dying to go to the loo because the phone is more important somehow.
Yeah. So many people use the phone, like, you know, like, or technology, like to play a nice, soothing music for
that's
sleep,
allowed.
For
that's
children
fine.
And like, you know.
That's okay, but how you
that's
use
nice.
It, like I said, it's not wrong to use it.
Yeah.
It's just how.
Moderation.
The right content in the right quantity. So like I said, the right quality of content in the right quality, in the quantity is very, very good for you.
Yeah.
But you have to decide that, to be mindful of it. I think it's the mindlessness of use which is creating a problem.
Since I just asked you about detox, you know, I heard about FOMO and then there is new term called JOMO. Can you elaborate on that? Because
I don't think a lot of people know JOMO. They know FOMO, the fear of missing out. I think I'll be the candidate for JOMO, the joy of missing out.
Yeah.
I see this a lot in my practice. So I would say a ton of people who come to me talk about FOMO.
Okay.
And I told you, comparison, envy, jealousy. Yeah. This one's married, I am not. This one's got this car, I don't have it.
Yeah.
This one's got this job, I don't have it. And so on and so forth. So I'd say, so they're like, Doc, but you keep telling us, you don't think, I mean, you never get FOMO. I'm like, I'm sorry, FOMO is something I've never known. Because I've never needed to ever feel smaller because of something that somebody else has. It's just the way I think. If someone else has it, good for them. I don't have it, but I don't need it. So I don't see why people can't think like that and people find it very, they say, Doc, you're just weird. I get this a lot from people, you're weird. As long as I'm happy and content, it's okay to be weird. But that's it. The joy of missing out, that let me shut my phone and let me stay away from the rest of the universe for these 3 days. And that is my joy of missing out. It's that I want to miss out because I do not want to be part of it. So it's precisely the opposite of FOMO.
Okay.
If FOMO is your recipe to unhappiness, JOMO is your recipe to joy.
Okay.
You know, so like, I think FOMOs give the, remember the F word, FOMOs give fear and JOMOs give joy.
Okay.
You know, so do you want to keep having like the fear of missing out on something and believing that it was really, really important to me that I missed out on it, or just have the joy that I don't even care about this? It's not that I don't care about it. I care about it, but I care about my happiness more.
Yeah.
I care about my contentment. Why should I compare myself to someone else? Yeah, he worked hard for it. He got it. He's happy. I'm also working hard. If I want it, I'll get it.
Yeah.
But somehow, no, I want it. I said, do you really want it? No, I just don't want it. But he got it. So why don't I?
Yeah.
Some very senior executive in a multinational, you know, went for dinner to someone's house, his friend's house. And very nice friend and everything. And then suddenly that guy announced, guys, I just want to tell you, like, I got this Rolls Royce. And everyone was like clapping and champagne and all of that. And this particular person, who's my client, said, how did he get a Rolls Royce? Like, did he get a promotion without me knowing? Or is the boss extra happy with him? I said, do you know anything about his other investments? No. Has he invested XYZ in this? Because I knew about this person where he had invested. He says, I don't know. I said, what if he moved all those investments and put it into this car? I said, by the way, even if you get a free Rolls Royce tomorrow, do you want it? He said, no, even one, you know, any little scratch on it would cost me a lot of money or something. Or one wiper breaks or something. It's just going to be too expensive. I said, I give you a free Rolls Royce, you don't want it. And here you are envious of someone who has bought such a high expense proposition, which might cost him a lot in the future on a Bombay road. Don't you think you're luckier than him? My Toyota is very good. You know, this is what he said. I said, then why? No, but he has it. I don't. I said, do you recall four-year-old children who just cry because they don't even know why they're crying? I want, I want. Why do you want it? I don't know, but I just want. So at least let's be mindful before we start feeling envious. Let's be mindful that I don't actually want what the other person has, but I'm just envying because that's my nature.
Yeah.
It has become my temperament.
Yeah.
Do you really need the car? No. Do you really like the car? No. Do you really want it even if I give it to you for free? No.
So I believe this incident happened in person where the friend got to know about like, you know, this new luxurious car, and then, you know, that feeling envy happened. But that happens. But then many times you get to know good or bad, everything through social media about somebody else. And then
you just see the photo of somebody in that
car. Yeah, it makes you sleepless, or it makes you think about it.
It has the power to take away your peace.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, when you follow somebody regularly, it also impacts your decision-making ability.
Correct. Because you are constantly in a state of, I need to be like this. Or even better.
Yeah.
The other day, just a couple of days ago, someone said to me, Doc, I'm fine, but I just need to know that I'm better than everybody else around. I said, but how is that even possible? If I go to somebody's house, I'm just hoping that I'm better than them. I said, but there are so many ways. I mean, is it that you have a six-pack which is better than theirs? Or do you have a better car? Or do you have a better wife? Or do you have a better house or a couch or a bed? Someone's going to just show you their new lounge chair, which could cost like 6 or 7 lakhs of rupees.
Yeah.
How do you stop the comparison? Somebody's child is playing better chess than you, or somebody's child is swimming better than your child, or studying better than your child, or getting a better placement. Where does the comparison stop? Unfortunately, nobody has an answer. So I said, why don't you, you know, as the quote goes, you don't have to be the best, but you have to put in your best.
Yeah.
And when you put in your best, doesn't that feel good? I mean, I have friends, especially the guys, muscle men, bodybuilders, Very few people know that I have an injury on my biceps and I can't even carry a phone with my hand. So the day I can carry my phone and I do bicep curls with my phone, I feel really good. I called my physiotherapist and said, today I did bicep curls with my phone. And she says, oh, that's great. And then another friend says, hey, you know what? I pumped 200 pounds today. I said, wow, that's great. But I know what my capacity is. And for me to hold a phone with my hand is my best right now. Yeah. It was different earlier.
Yeah.
But how can I compare myself to someone else and why?
Yeah.
How does it matter? Yeah. What matters the most is if a client or a patient saw me and they felt good after the session, that makes it a good day for me. That's all I need in my day for my day to be nice, and that my cats are happy, and then I get good food to eat, and all of those other list of things which I like is different.
Yeah.
But how and why do we compare for every little thing? It's because our, you know, I call it a cup of insecurity or cup of security within ourselves. And a lot of people have a full cup. Mm. A lot of people have a hole in their cup.
Mm.
And a lot of people have a cup which doesn't have a bottom only. You know, because that is so empty that no matter what you're going to put in a cylinder, obviously it's going to come out. And if you're going to put it in a cup with a tiny hole, it'll trickle out. And a big hole, it'll come out pretty fast. Or you have a cup which is full solid at the base. You're full. Nobody else can attack your security because your cup of security is full. What do we fill that up with? We fill it up with our positive belief systems that I am happy with what I have. I will work hard if I don't have it. These are the kind of affirmations you need to use for yourself.
Yeah.
That I don't have it, but I don't even need it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what cognitive analysis and restructuring is, that let me restructure the way I think because how I think is going to make me feel a particular way. So I need to just see it differently. You don't have to change the thing. You just have to change the way you see it.
Yeah. The other concern about social media is everybody is having about security of self, you know. Like there was a trend that came where people were using somebody's images
to create
appropriate and all that. And many people also have a concern and they're very careful about not being on social media, not putting on any picture. They don't like it. But that is also coming from this fear that somebody will misuse my data.
Correct. But so deep faking is actually a very, I would say, fearsome technology.
Yeah.
Because we are recreating images, audios, and videos. So imagine you could create a video of a person, simulate their voice using AI. And so there we have an image, we have a video and an audio. We are actually creating a person out of nothing. That could be very traumatizing for another person. Or if we are creating or recreating something like this, it's not even, it's like creating a fake identity.
Correct.
Okay. A fake alternate person exists. So there is some fake version of me somewhere on another podcast talking something quite contrary to my views, for example.
Yeah.
Or posing in a certain inappropriate way, which I may not ever do in my lifetime. So using technology, we are recreating this. I think this is worse than nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
The degree of damage that we can do to people's reputation. And it has a lot of legal, ethical, several consequences. It could be that we use videos and audios as evidence in courts of law. So if we can recreate a fake video and audio, then we'll say that this person committed this crime. I mean, I'm just thinking aloud and thinking, even if we don't go to that extreme, but the fact that we could put a picture or a video of somebody which has been recreated, I think we're really misusing technology in this sense. And even coming from deepfake, if we want to recreate images of someone, let's say, who's not alive anymore, is that really normal? I think it's a little, I mean, it was okay to see it in a movie, but in real life, is that healthy?
Yeah.
I don't think it's healthy.
Yeah.
It's holding on to, I think we're getting obsessed with immortality. And is it really possible that we are not going to die or we are going to keep people alive with something like this? It's just unhealthy.
And also, adding to this, when we go on social media, we post pictures where we are only looking beautiful. And after age also, like, you know that person is of that age, but with filters and with so much of...
Usually this happens a lot on dating sites. It's called catfishing and kitten fishing.
Okay.
The term wherein on dating sites, we're using our own photo. Photos. Sometimes you could even use a photo of another young person.
Hmm.
So you're trying to look better just to attract more people.
More people.
And you get people emotionally involved with you. And then eventually when you meet the person, you just assume that the person will still be in love with you. But it doesn't work that way. It's very traumatizing.
The first impression is so shocking. Like when you see some person in real, that person looks so different in phone. And WhatsApp.
And it's a momentary pleasure. Maybe you just got the pleasure out of the few weeks of chatting.
Yeah.
And then eventually, when you finally meet the person, you still may eventually break up because the person doesn't like you for who you are. It's not about superficial looks and vanity. It's the fact that why would you lie?
Yeah.
It's called catfishing and kitten fishing. And it's obviously very traumatic for a person who's looking out on a site for a partner. And they assume that people are going to be authentic. That's why dating sites are also a little dicey because you have a lot of predators everywhere.
Yeah.
And you don't want to fall prey to these predators because it damages your mental health.
Yeah.
It almost creates a PTSD kind of a picture that I got so involved with this person. And then I just figured that I thought he was, 21 years old, but he turned out to be 43 years old.
Mm.
So it doesn't make logical sense. But people do this.
The other thing I wanted to bring out today is, few weeks back, there was a very big personality got some comment he used and it went viral.
In India.
Everybody started posting it. But at the same time, they started along with that posting, they started hatred was spread, along with that.
This is actually called mass mobbing. The more technical term being used these days is the cancel culture.
Okay.
Wherein it's almost like we're taking a large scale legal action against this person, but it's just that we're not doing it legally. So we are at a mass scale boycotting somebody and it will usually be a celebrity or it'll be an influential person when we want to just bring the person down.
Yeah.
So it's, like I said, mass mobbing now or cyber mobbing, cyber bullying. Hmm. These are the words we use to describe this. It is dysfunctional and it's based on mob psychology. So, mob psychology is that, if you've ever been on the road or been on the street and there's a big crowd and they're watching something which isn't even worthy of watching, but you will just go and join them because 10 people are already looking, and that's how the mob of 10 becomes a mob of 100 or 1,000. So a lot of the times people who are not, sometimes even the religious gatherings, people are just following religious heroes and leaders because everyone else is following.
Yeah, yeah.
But does it personally matter to me?
Yeah.
Does it personally touch me? No, but everyone's following it. It would be weird if I didn't follow it.
Yeah.
So in mass mobbing, there you're following for positivity and for good.
Hmm.
In mass mobbing, you are acting negative against the person because of something that someone did, which may legitimately be wrong.
Hmm.
But it's like taking the law in your hand, and the way if 1, 2, 3, 5 and then a million people or 10 million people oppose this person, to cancel this person's goodness or wellness.
Hmm.
This person was good. It could be a film star who's probably into drugs, or it could be a music star who was into a sexual offense, or it could be a religious leader into something. I do think it is right because the person deserves punishment.
Hmm.
But what if the person didn't deserve it?
Hmm.
And when something like this goes viral, a simpler word of it was called trolling, where a person is
and that was
negatively impacted. But
cancel
culture is, I think, a very large scale form of trolling in which you are seeing to it that by virtue of the numbers, this person gets cancelled. Like, I want to cross this person out, but I'll use this cancel culture. And there are a lot of people. Just to put it, for example, an anti-mask or an anti-vaccination culture, for example, in the pandemic, I would say all of these are, it's not exactly a cancel culture, but I'm saying when a large group of people begin to follow one thing And then a lot of people start again accepting it. Hmm. So the outcome of it could be bad. So who decides whether that culture is right or wrong? It depends on, obviously, if people are supporting a good cause, I would be for it. But are they just supporting it without thinking? But mindlessness is a big problem. So if you're mindful and aware and you support it, it's fine. But if you're mindlessly going to do it, then there's something very wrong there. So that's what cancel culture, if the person deserves to be canceled, good. It's a public form of punishment.
Yeah.
But if, what if the person didn't deserve it?
Yeah.
And then that reputation universally, we just have this one planet Earth, and you know, as small as it looks as a pale blue dot, it is still a pretty big planet.
Yeah.
So it's very important for the reputation's sake. So I think we should be a little more aware. People should at least be aware that don't just follow something without thinking and don't just reprimand something without realizing what it actually is.
So coming to, like, we have almost discussed parenting, children's behavior, even ourselves and like somebody else's social media impact on our lives and all. What is the takeaway that you would like to give our audience about social media and AI intelligence?
I would say social media is a big boon. Artificial intelligence is a blessing, and some extremely intelligent people have created it. You know, I've met with so many engineers worldwide and discussed so much about AI, and, you know, I lived in the Silicon Valley for a significant amount of time. So just by virtue of being around technology, I absolutely appreciate, respect, and love technology and all the advances that we're making. I think sometimes it's just so awe-inspiring that, oh my God, this is also possible. And it's beautiful to have all of this. But I just think the misuse is what's creating more problems in the world than benefits. But if you want to stick in the zone of benefit, I think let's use it more mindfully. Let it be something to assist us, but let it not be something to replace us. You know, so use AI to get, I'm not saying use AI to get friends, but use social media to get friends. You use AI to research a topic better, but that does not mean after the AI has written it, you're not going to reference it at all.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by make good use of it. Use the literature, use the awareness, use the tools, use the resources, but don't misuse them or substitute them with what's actually real.
Yeah. On that good note, we wrap up this session.
Thank you.
I'm sure our audience is going to benefit a lot from this episode.
I hope so.
Thanks, Doctor, for coming.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
In the digital world, fear and accountability are deeply intertwined. Social media amplifies our instincts, whether it is a fear of being judged, the need for belonging, or the rush of public outrage. But real accountability isn't about punishment. It's about understanding, learning, and evolving. As we navigate this online era, let's remember, true change comes from awareness, not just from reaction. Stay mindful, stay reactive, and most importantly, stay human. For more such updates and podcasts, subscribe to our channel and stay connected with Imperia Connects.